Welcome, everybody, to the Wednesday night Bible study here at the Excited Radio Network. This is Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang saying welcome one, welcome all to the program tonight, especially our surrounding city and states and our countries near and far, as well as those who've called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one, join the conversation. We'd be glad to hear from you, especially your prayer requests, prayer praises, any of those good things. We'd be glad to hear from you. Just join the conversation. Saying once again, welcome to the Wednesday night Bible study and the Success Gospel Bus, brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at holinessbiblesfortheblind.org. That is Holiness Bibles, plural, for theblind.org. As we get rolling out here tonight, we're going to start with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you again for another day, Lord Jesus. In you, we have another way, Lord Jesus. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for each and every person listening to the program again tonight. And we ask you, Lord Jesus, to touch each and every one of those people listening tonight. Especially, we ask you to touch that soul who is nearest hell. We ask you to help them to reel up the white flag surrender, saying, I yield, knowing that your word said, Lord Jesus, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So let this day be their day. Let them get in contact with us, so we can rejoice with them in their newfound joy, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for the team of the Success Radio Network, we ask a special blessing, do pray, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you, whether mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then for your children out there, Lord Jesus, no matter where they may be or where they may be at, Lord Jesus, we ask you the same blessing, do pray, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, we ask you, Lord Jesus, for those dealing with COVID-19, Lord Jesus. First off, for the family and friends, Lord Jesus, who have lost someone due to COVID-19, Lord Jesus, we ask you to touch them and comfort them with your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then for those going through COVID-19, as we speak, Lord Jesus, we ask you to raise them up out of the bed of affliction as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for these dirty, rotten situations that we read about in the newspaper, hear about on the television or radio set, Lord Jesus, we ask you to help us learn to love our neighbor as ourselves. In so doing, we'd be loving the omnipresent neighbor who is you, Lord Jesus. Now we ask and pray all this in your mighty and precious name. Amen and amen. All right, so now we're going to get ready to roll out here with the Success Gospel Bus here on the Success Radio Network, here on the Wednesday night Bible study, brought to you again, once more, by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for F-O-R, theblind.org. Now for a few reminders, first of all, for those who called 424-243-9617, again, 424-243-9617, just press the number one, join the conversation, we'll be glad to hear from you. We'd love to hear your prayer requests, prayer praises, or any of those good things, because we'd love you to join the conversation and hear from you. Amen. And also, as a reminder, Six Eyes Department of Transportation prohibits smoking and drinking of alcoholic beverages on board, on the Six Eyes coach, or in the restroom, which is in the rear of the coach. Please do not go into the restroom and set off the smoke detector. That includes cigarettes, pipes, crack, marijuana. Don't light or drink it on the Six Eyes coach. However, if you choose to do so anyway, then you choose to make travel arrangements with the Six Eyes Troopers Association on the outside of this coach, because you will not continue to ride on this coach. There is a restroom located at the right rear for your convenience. Use caution going to and from. Hold on to the seat backs or overhead racks for your safety. Accompany any small children and lock the door so you don't get any unexpected guests. Be sure to pick up your baggage at your next connection point. For all you entertainment lovers, please keep the volume down low or turned off and mute yourself when you're not speaking so you don't disturb myself or other passengers around you. Thank you for riding with Six Eyes. So, we'll get rolling out here with the Six Eyes Gospel Bus here on the Wednesday Night Bible Study, brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org, here on the Six Eyes Wednesday Night Bible, here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. All right, and Sister Ruth, as we pull out of the old gospel bus station here, who do we got on board with us?
Oh, God, the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, band of angels. We have you, Sister Emily, our good friend, and just little old me.
All right, well, Sister Emily, haven't had you on the gospel bus for a while. So what do you got in the way of prayer requests tonight?
If I could quit sneezing, I'd be all right. My usual and a special unspoken for my mother.
Okay.
Also for the head of our radio station, for Queen Nye, our ministry, our needs with our ministry, and continued prayers that the finances would come in for the station. And
all right,
for Brother and Sister Quick and Pastor and Sister Bonnie.
All right.
And I just got off the phone with Lila just before I called in, and she's got a special unspoken.
Okay.
And with that, I'm complete.
All right. Well, of course, we definitely want to remember Brother Tim Gruber over in Israel. I don't know, Emily, if you've been keeping abreast of the latest news, but there is a war going on in Israel. And where Tim... Huh?
I said, oh, Jesus.
And in fact, where Tim is at in Tel Aviv, he is very close to the actual war where it's happening. The war is happening in the Gaza Strip, okay? In fact, he's at this Saturday, as well as the Sunday show and the next Monday show, I will be playing a clip from Tim that we recorded, okay, on Monday. He actually tells about how he can actually hear the rockets going off, the sirens, the warning sirens when they launch these rockets. So he's very, very close to the action. So he's very close, but he's safe.
He needs prayer for his safety.
Right. So we're definitely praying for his safety. We're praying for all of Israel right now. And when I say praying for Israel, first off, they need prayer that they would come to God, okay? Because, I mean, praying for the people's safety, that's one thing. Praying for peace of Jerusalem, that's one thing. But praying they come to God is a whole other thing. Coming back to God, that's what they need, as well as all of the different nations.
The entire world needs prayer to get themselves right with God and to quit messing around before it's eternally too late for any of them.
Right. So when I say pray for the leaders of these different countries, pray they come to God and start following after God, not after man. That's what I mean.
And then, of course, our military, as we got quite a few military over there in Israel fighting. Then, of course, we want to be praying for our first responders, police, fire, ambulance, as they do their job here on this land. Those in hospitals, nursing homes that work there, the patients in both places, we want to pray for the sick and shut in, for, you know, obviously those at home that are sick and shut in, that God would raise them up out of the bed of affliction. Within his will, of course, we want to pray for, like Emily said, for the blind ministry, for the needs there, for all of the 6 Eyes Radio Network team that covers all of us. Your as Six would say, your family, your friends, your fans, my fans. And that covers quite a coverage there. So, and definitely, so keep everybody in prayer. And now, Sister Ruth, your turn.
Pray for all the other requests and the lost souls. And I'm getting set up for a facet injection at Cleveland Clinic Pain Management again, so. Just praying for all you all out there, too. Love you all.
All right. Well, with that, since Emily has not been on the old gospel bus for a while, and she is, in fact, the prayer leader for the blind ministry, it is her job to lead in prayer. So we are going to turn it over to her and give us the opening prayer for this Wednesday's gospel bus, and then we're going to get rolling out here with some good stuff.
Can I ask one question real quick there, Kenny?
Uh-huh.
Being funny, are you twisting my arm?
No, it's just that I'm in the driver's seat of this gospel bus, and since I'm in the driver's seat, you got to do the praying.
Well, can I make a deal with Sister Ruth? She open, I close.
Okay.
Thank you, Sister Ruth.
Oh, love you, sweetheart. I hope you feel better. All right, well, dear Lord, praise your name. Be with all the requests. You know what they are, and as old as I am, I might forget something. So it's better if I just let you have it, sweetheart. And we just want to praise and bless your name. Love you. Amen.
All right, so we do have a great show lined up for you tonight. Originally, not only do we have our great gospel songs lined out, but as well we have a message set up from our Holiness Bibles for the Blind archives. You just simply define the same message. You click, go to holinessbiblesfortheblind.org, click sermons, then you click fearless teachings. You go down all the way to the letter T, and look for the American Holocaust. The American Holocaust. Click on that, and you'll get all the details about the message. You can get your free download there. And on the same page, if you wish, you could click the love offerings right there and give a love offering using your credit card or PayPal account to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, although it's not required to get the download. The download is absolutely free, but we will be listening to that message as it's highlighted tonight on this night's gospel bus, the American Holocaust. Then we was originally going to have Brother Quick doing the song and poem, but it turned out he's been having a lot of troubles physically, so we want to keep him in prayer because it's just been very difficult to get him ready to do the song and poem. So we actually turned it over to Brother Tim. So Evangelist Timothy Gruber is our next stooge, as we'll call him. He's going to take on the song and poem. So tonight is his first chance at it. We're going to see how he does. Ultimately, the goal, ultimately, is one of Tim's favorite words. So I'll use one of Tim's favorite words. Ultimately, the goal is, can he take the number one place and beat Emily and Pastor Bonnet, who are in a tie for first place right now, 22 for 26? Can he ultimately beat them? Or Will he end up behind them somewhere and maybe beat one of the others that is behind Emily in six? Emily and Pastor Bonnet, will he end up in second place? Will he tie for second place with six? Will he be ahead of six and take second place? Or will he beat Sister Ruth or tie her? We're going to find out as Tim now goes through the set of 26. So it's going to be a half a year before you guys find out the results. So here we go. Week number one with Tim with the song and poem. We're going to see how he does. Does he start off with a bang, get the correct answer, or does he go flat tire right off the bat and get the wrong buzzer? And if he does, what happens with the poor buzzer? Will be interesting tonight. And then after that, we get Ruth, and she will go into Bible prophecy tonight, and especially what's been going on in Israel. I've noticed, I'm already in advance knowing where she's going, but Ruth, tell us, where are you taking us in Bible prophecy?
It's really cool. We're going to Jerusalem.
Now, isn't that interesting? She's taking us to the subject of Jerusalem, and isn't that interesting that things are happening right over in that general area in the land of Israel? So that's going to be interesting to hear tonight, so you're going to definitely want to listen to that and see what Jerusalem has to, what Jerusalem is in Bible prophecy. We're going to want to check that out. And then, of course, after that, we have a few final closing words. Then we will open the mics for questions, comments, and any of those good things, remaining prayer requests, and then we will close out the show for tonight. So, and then, of course, you all hop off the bus and take your baggage with you. So, here we go, and we are going to get rolling out.
Kenneth.
Yeah.
I just got a prayers report in from my daughter.
Uh-huh.
She asked me to share it on the show tonight. She just texted me on my other phone.
Uh-huh.
Mom, would you share with the listeners that I'm thanking God that I have a more permanent, stable housing other than being in a motel room?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
We can thank God for that. All right, so let's get rolling here with the Six Eyes Gospel Bus.
Let's boogie.
Let's boogie, everybody.
Let's go.
Love lifted me. It's a song. amazing grace. How sweet the sound, it's a song holy angels cannot sing. I once was lost, but now I'm found. It's a song holy angels cannot sing. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Well, it's a song holy angels cannot sing. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was lost, but now I'm
when I reach that promised land, well, I look way over Jordan, I saw people dressed in white. I know they were God's children. Well, I'm gonna come up, come up, come up, come up, come up out of the ground. There ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. There ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. And when I hear that trumpet sound, well, I'm gonna get up, gonna get up, gonna get up out of the ground. There ain't no grave. Thank you.
times, lots of laughter and tears, through each trial and temptation, I've only come to trust Him more. For all the good things in my life came from the Lord. Lord, You never fail me, not one single time. Whenever I call You, You are always on the line. Through the good times and bad times, this one thing I always do, that all the good things have come from serving You. It's not always been easy. Sometimes the way gets rough, but He's always been beside me, and friend, that's always been enough. Up each mountain and down each valley, I've only come to trust Him more. For every good thing in my life came from the Lord. Lord, You never fail.
If you'd like to get in contact with us here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, there are three email addresses you may use to get in contact with us. First of all, if you wish to get in contact with me, Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang, about any kind of Bible questions that you may have or regarding the programming here or complaints about programming, you may contact me at feelandtouchking@gmail.com. That's feel like you do with your fingertips, F-E-E-L, letter N as Nancy, touch like you do with your fingertips, T-O-U-C-H, king like the guy who sits on a throne, wears a crown, K-I-N-G, @gmail.com. In your subject line, you just put what you're in reference that you're wanting to get in contact with me about. Secondly, if you wish to get in contact with Ruth about her Bible prophecy, you would contact her by KJV1611Ruth@gmail.com. That's K as King, J as Jackson, V as Victory, 1611. R is Randy, U is Umbrella, T is Tom, H is Henry, @gmail.com. Again, KJV1611Ruth@gmail.com. In your subject line, put Bible prophecy. And thirdly, last but not least, if you wish to get a hold of Brother Six Eyes about any of his Six Eyes Music Studio Productions work, where you can get recordings made, whether album, commercial, etc., or if you wish to get donation information for the station here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, you contact him at sixeyes6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, @gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, @gmail.com. In your subject line for him, you put what you're in reference that you're wanting to get a hold of him about. And in all three cases, in your body of your message, refer it to your subject line, and we will not only read your message, but we will get back in contact with you. Amen. Enjoy great programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network 7 days a week by calling 424-243-9617 and 424-243-9617. Press the number 1, join the conversation. And it all gets started here on Sunday.
Hey, you can enjoy the Six Eyes Radio Network. Just call 424-243-9617.
For the Sunday Gospel Show, get your praise on without leaving the house, 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. On Monday, get motivated. Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, on Tuesday. Word of the King on Six Eyes Radio, 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, then on Wednesday. It's time for Bible study with the Wednesday Bible Study Show and the Six Eyes Gospel Bus. Brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at holinessbiblesfortheblind.org. with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang, with great music and scripture, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. Then on Thursday,
for he took me as I was, oh praise his name. What a friend he is to me, I can hardly believe that the God of heaven brought me out of shame. Why he loves me, oh, so strong, causes me to have a song. Oh, for he took me as I was, oh, praise his name.
For the Truth of the Matter with Dr. Doug Quick, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Friday
with AJ and the Squad.
9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, and last but not least, it's Kicking It with Six Eyes and ATL, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, 8:30 p.m. Pacific. Now it is time for the Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week. This week we're going into Matthew chapter 25, verse 40. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 40.
And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me.
So, what have you done to the least of Christ's brethren? Who are his brethren? They, Jesus said, in his word, they that do the will of my Father which is in heaven is the same, my brother, my sister, my mother, etc. These are his brethren. So, what you've done to them, when you give them a glass of water, when you give them something to eat, when you visit them in prison or in the hospital, nursing home, etc., how you treat them is how you treat Christ. You're not doing it to them. Remember, you're doing it ultimately to Christ. Found in our Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week, Matthew 25 and verse 40. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 40. Amen.
That saved. God free is love to me. Because the anchor holds, though the ship is battered, the anchor holds. So the sails that soar, I have fallen on my knees as I face the raging sea. The anchor holds, it's by the shore.
It's a great old gospel tune that I found in my grandmother's hymn book. I have inherited grandma's hymn book, mom's hymn book. For those of you in Cochrane who may know, I have Mrs. Thomas Buttrey's hymn book. And this one was written in the 1920s, and it's called And Yet There Is Room. Ringing today, and yet there is room, and yet there is room. The feast is made ready, oh, do not delay. And yet there is room at the cross, and yet there is room, and yet there is room. Though millions have come, there still is room.
His promise is broken.
holinessbiblesfortheblind.org. That's HolinessBiblesFortheBlind.org. Once you put that in your browser and you click enter, go down the home page to where it says Love Offerings. Click that. And you will be on our Secure PayPal button and Secure PayPal page. You there can use your credit card or PayPal account to give a secure donation to Holiness Bibles for the Blind. Also, you can send a check or money order to Holiness Bibles for the Blind. You send that to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, P.O. Box 471, Ashtabula, Ashtabula, Ohio, 44005. Again, send your check or money order to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, made payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, P.O. Box 471, Ashtabula, Ashtabula, Ohio, 44005. And God will richly bless you for your love gift, and we here at Holiness Bibles for the Blind thank you very, very much. Amen. And now it is time for Timothy Gruber and his Hebrew Word of the Week.
Hello there. This is Timothy Gruber coming to you with this week's Hebrew Word of the Week. And the Hebrew Word of the Week for this week is law. Law, Hebrew word for no. And again, that is law. It's L-A-W, law. And again, it's the Hebrew word for no. Psalm 14, verse 1 declares, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt, they have done abominable works, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. And again, the Hebrew word for the week, this week, is the Hebrew word for no, which is law, L-A-W, law. This has been Timothy Gruber coming to you with this week's Hebrew Word of the Week. Until next time, God bless you and yours.
Would you like to help keep shows like this one on the air? Well, there are several methods you can do to help that happen. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to paypal.com and enter the following email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, go to Cash App, enter $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, again, $SIX. E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, and in both cases, you enter the dollar amount of your love gift, and we here at the Success Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. Also, if you wish to send a check or money order to the Success Radio Network, contact Brother Six Eyes at his email address, sixeyes6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. In your subject line, write donation information requested. In the body of your email, request the information for the pay to and snail mail information for your check or money order, explaining you wishing to send a check or money order to donate to the Six Eyes Radio Network, and once again, God will richly bless you, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much.
Do you see? Do you see all the people sinking down? Don't you care? Don't you care? Are you gonna let them drown? How can you be so numb not to care if they come? You close your eyes and pretend the job's done. Oh, bless me, Lord. Bless me, Lord. You know, it's all I ever hear. No one ate, no one hurt, no one even shed one tear. But he cries, he weeps, he bleeds, and he cares for your need. And you just lay back and keep soaking it in. And all heaven just weep, 'cause Jesus came to your door. You've left him out on the street. Open up, open up, and give yourself away. You see the need, you hear the cry. So how can you delay? God's calling, and you're the one. But like Jonah, you run. He's told you to speak, but you keep holding it in. Oh, can't you see it's a sin? The world is sleeping in the dark that the church just can't fight, 'cause it's asleep. Been so well fed. Jesus rose from the grave, and you can't even get out of bed. Oh, Jesus rose from the dead. Come on, get out of your bed. La, da, la, da.
so many stories. I feel so many miles that need not be sung by me. Oh Lord, dear Lord, great author of the play, behind wisdom learned, the only part that I need play is the part that you wrote for me. The part that you wrote for me. You've given me the light. You've shown me the right direction. So many want to leave, and so many times I follow. Lord, let me not be hollow like man and old mother play. Oh Lord, dear Lord, great author of the play.
The seeds of distrust it will sow. But unless you make no mistakes in your life, be careful of stones that you throw. A neighbor was passing my garden one time. She stopped, and I knew right away that it was gossip, not flowers, she had on her mind. And this is what I heard my neighbor say: that girl down the street should be run from our midst. She drinks and she talks quite a lot, and she knows not to speak to my child or to me. And my neighbor then smiled, and I thought, a tongue can accuse and carry bad news. The seeds of distrust it will sow. But unless you make no mistakes in your life, be careful of stones that you throw. Car speeded by, and the screaming of brakes, a sound that made my blood chill. My neighbor's one child had been pulled from the path and saved by a girl lying still. The child was unhurt, and my neighbor cried out, oh, who was that brave girl so sweet? I covered the crushed, broken body and said, the bad girl who lived down the street. A tongue can accuse and carry bad news. The seeds of distrust it will sow. But unless stones that you throw.
Professionals, and they may not know how to help you. It's better if you call the National Suicide Prevention Line at 1-800-273-8255. 1-800-275-5. Again, that number is 1-800-273-8255. And this message has been brought to you by Six Eyes Radio Network.
Hello, I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're Blind Trucking of Ashtabula, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road.
And we support this program.
Here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network.
Agony tore at my mind. I'm a statistic. And when I first got here, I felt very much alone. I was overwhelmed with grief, and I expected to find something. But, oh, I found no sympathy. I only saw thousands of others whose bodies were as badly mangled as mine. I was given a number and placed in a category. And the category was called traffic fatality. Now, the day I died was an ordinary school day. Oh, how I wish I'd taken the bus. But I was too cool for the bus. I remembered how I'd conned my mom out of her car that day. A special favor, I pleaded, because all the other kids drive. And when the 250 bell rang that day, I threw my books in my locker. I'm free until 8:40 tomorrow morning. Oh, I ran to the parking lot, excited at the thought of driving a car, being my own boss, being free. Now, it doesn't matter how the accident happened. I was just goofing off, I guess. Going a little too fast, smoking a little pot, taking crazy chances. But I was enjoying my freedom and having myself a ball. And the very last thing I remember was passing an old lady who seemed to be going awful slow. Then I heard the deafening crash and felt a terrific jolt. Glass and steel flew everywhere. My whole body seemed to be turning inside out. And then I heard myself scream. Suddenly I awakened, and it was very quiet. This peace officer was standing over me. Then I saw this doctor. My body was so mangled, I was saturated with blood. Pieces of jagged glass were sticking out all over my body. And I thought it strange that I didn't feel anything. Hey, mister, don't pull that sheet over my head. I can't be dead. I'm only 17. I got a date tonight. I'm supposed to grow up and have a wonderful life. I can't be dead. But later, I was placed in a morgue on a cold slab. And my folks had to identify me. Oh, why did they have to see me like this? Why did I have to look into my mom's eyes when she'd just been through the most terrible ordeal of her life? And my dad, he suddenly looked like an old man as he told the man in charge, yes, that's our son. And my funeral, it was a real experience. I saw all my relatives and friends walk towards my casket. They passed by one and looked at me with the saddest eyes I guessed I'd ever seen. Some of my buddies were crying, and my girlfriend touched my hand and sobbed as she walked away. Please, somebody wake me up and get me out of here. I can't bear it to see my mom and dad so broken up, and my grandparents are so racked with grief they can barely walk, and my brother and sister are like zombies walking around in a daze. Please, somebody. No one can believe this, and I can't believe it myself. Please don't bury me. I can't be dead. I have a lot of living to do. I want to laugh and run again. I want to sing and dance. Oh, please don't put me in the ground. I promise if you give me one more chance, God, I'll be the most careful driver in the whole wide world. All I'm asking is one more chance, God. Please, I'm only 17.
Love you. wasn't worth it.
Now he'll never make dinner, never again. And several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio.
This commercial was also brought to you by Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Amen.
Dr. Francis Schaeffer of Labrie, Switzerland, one of the greatest theologians of this century and philosophers in this pulpit several years ago before he died, said that the great tragedy of the American church is that the vast majority of American church people are concerned about nothing beyond personal peace and prosperity. Now, I am as much for peace and prosperity as any man, but as a Christian, our concerns must reach beyond that, beyond simply a concern for our own peace and prosperity. If the New Testament teaches anything at all, Jesus Christ declared that we must reach out and be concerned for our neighbor and for the world in which we live. A Christian must have a greater concern than simply peace and prosperity. Indeed, the most unregenerate, the most self-centered, the most unconcerned and egoistic unbeliever in the world is concerned about peace and prosperity. But for a Christian, there must be more. In fact, if that is all that we are concerned about, it is very unlikely that we are truly Christians at all. Let us consider for a few moments the real nature of what all of this means. What lies behind Roe v. Wade, this decision which has so changed our nation? Mother Teresa said that in abortion, it not only kills the unborn, but it kills the consciences of all that are involved. What is the real theological, philosophical basis for all of this? Did you know that Roe v. Wade had religious roots to it? Many people don't know that. In fact, Justice Harry Blackmun, who was the one who wrote the Roe v. Wade decision, said that if there was any religion to which he would refer for guidance in this matter, it would be, I wonder how many of you know, what religion was the most guidance to the justice in this decision? It would be, said Justice Blackmun, paganism. The ancient religion of the Persians, the Greeks, and the Romans, he said. Ancient paganism, with its little concern for the sanctity of life, where babies were not only aborted in the womb, but if they lived to be born and were unwanted, they were left out on the sides of mountains or in the forest to be devoured by animals or picked up by strange-looking people who had some weird designs for them. Paganism lying behind the abortion holocaust of our day. This indeed is a tragic thing for us to consider. We're told that it's ushering in a new ethic, that the sanctity of life ethic must be replaced with a quality of life ethic. Millions of people hear those terms bandied about, and they really don't perceive what is involved in them at all. But let me tell you, my friends, I would like for you to look through that window and you will see a whole world opening before you when you understand what that means. And let me quote to you a profound statement made by Malcolm Muggeridge, the brilliant author from England. He says this: the sanctity of life is, of course, a religious or transcendental concept and has no meaning otherwise. If there is no God, life cannot have sanctity. By the same token, the quality of life, ethic, is an earthly or worldly concept and can only be expressed legalistically and in materialistic terms. The soul does not come into it. Did you grasp that? It is only with a theistic, with a godly, with a spiritual view of life that you can have a sanctity of life ethic, because only God grants sanctity or sanctifies. But if that view is replaced with a quality of life ethic, it is being replaced with a paganistic or materialistic or atheistic ethic. There are other roots and analogies that are involved in this. In addition to paganism, there are close analogies with Nazism. And I would like for us to note those at this time. And you remember in the Nuremberg trials, the Nazis were condemned for killing people in their gas chambers, for aborting children in their camps, their concentration camps, and killing them, and all of the atrocities they did. Again, Malcolm Muggeridge says something which I think is very interesting. He said that some future Gibbon, who wrote The Rise and Fall of the Roman Empire, of course, would look with a sardonic smile on the fact that it only took 3 decades for something to go from an atrocity condemned in the Nuremberg trials to an act of compassion in America. Consider that. That what the whole world condemned as atrocious and crimes against humanity has now become an act of compassion, which is absolutely astonishing when you think about it. In fact, I don't know if you knew this or not, but the institution that was in charge of all of the concentration camps of Germany had a very interesting title. It was called the Charitable Foundation for Institutional Care. Now, if you think that is incredible, listen to this. The institutions which have performed the slaughter and butchery, dismemberment of 23 million American babies has been designated by the IRS with this tax-exempt designation, quote, charitable organizations engaged in promoting health. Gymnastics, semantic gymnastics to say the least. Now, some people claim that, well, they don't really know whether that's a life, a living thing or not, whether it's potential life or it's real life. They don't really know what it is, some people say. Ronald Reagan, in a book, Abortion and the Conscience of a Nation, said something I think very profound yet very simple. If you don't know whether a body is alive or dead, you would never bury it. Even that bit of doubt should keep us from ever killing a child. And yet today, with the advance of embryology, with the advancements in fetology, with the fetoscope, which now is able to go into the womb and take motion pictures, not merely sonograms, but motion pictures of an actual abortion, as you watch a baby fighting to get rid of the tools that are being used to rip its arms off and then its legs and finally crush its head, you know that that is a living human being who is struggling to live. It is indeed a crime that kills not only the baby, but the consciences of all involved. Listen to some of the comments by American abortionist doctors whom you would not imagine. As we consider some of the parallels between abortion in America and the Holocaust in Germany, the American Holocaust as compared to the Nazi Holocaust. In 1936, the High Court of Germany refused to recognize Jews living in Germany as persons in the legal sense. They were not persons, and therefore they were not protected by any of the laws, and you could do anything you want with them. In 1973, the U.S. Supreme Court, Roe v. Wade, declared that the word person, as used in the 14th Amendment, does not include the unborn. They are, according to Roe v. Wade, not persons. Therefore, you can burn them alive with saline solutions. You can rip their limbs off one by one, as long as you put them together again outside to make sure you've got all of the parts. And other similarities. At the Hadamar Euthanasia Hospital in Germany, patients were killed with injections, and they were told that these were treatments for their lung disease. In 1976 in America, Dr. Willard Cates called abortion the preferred treatment for a disease. What kind of disease? The number two sexually transmitted disease in America. What is it? Unwanted pregnancies. To him, it's a disease to be treated, and you treat it by ripping the baby apart. Dr. Howard J. Diamond, a physician supposed to be concerned with the lives of people, said, "I feel sorry for a starving cat, a fetus that nobody wants. That's not sad." My friends, that is sad, that any doctor who had taken the Hippocratic Oath could ever come to such a state of degeneracy as that. Indeed, there is no such thing as an unwanted child. One of the arguments was used is it's better to kill the child than have him come into the world unwanted. There are 1.5 million babies aborted every year. But there are 2 million couples looking to adopt children every year. There is no such thing as an unwanted child. Recently, a baby was born with AIDS. The parents didn't want it. There were 7 families lined up to adopt that child. Another myth that has been exploded by reality. What do we call this child created in the image of God, sacred, holy unto God? Well, someone said of the bodies of Jews in one of their gas ovens, he said, "What should we do with this garbage?" And yet, Dr. Marty Kekamaki in America in 1980 said, "An aborted baby is just garbage." Heads severed from inmates exterminated in gas chambers were utilized as paperweights in the offices of the commandants in Nazi Germany. But of course, this is America. We would never do a thing like that, or would we? The brains, organs, and bodies of aborted babies encased in a paperweight type of plastic block were sold by a Chicago biological supply firm. The subjects in Nazi Germany were forced to undergo death-dealing experiments without receiving anesthesia. The fetus, quote Dr. Marty Kekamaki, quote, "The fetuses are fully alive when we cut their heads off, but anesthetics are definitely unnecessary." And one doctor cut off a number of heads, connected them up to pumps with blood, and kept them alive for days, functioning with brainwave patterns. And so we see that the similarities between Nazism, the Nazi Holocaust, and the American Holocaust are great. There are many, many more, which I did not read, but I think that's enough to give you the idea that we are going down the same slippery path. And it is tragic that it took just 30 years for us who condemned the Nazis to begin our way down the same path. Also, we might notice the comparisons with slavery. In 1857, the Dred Scott decision of the Supreme Court declared that slaves were not persons in the legal sense of the Constitution. Therefore, you could do anything you wanted with them, including killing them, because they were not persons. The same way that the ancient Greek pagans and Romans referred to their slaves simply as, quote, animate tools. They were not persons. They were not human beings. They did not have souls, even as the black slaves were said not to have souls, and therefore they could be killed or mutilated as you saw fit. But, my friends, we now look back on the Dred Scott decision. We now look back on ancient paganism. We now look back on the Nazi atrocities, and we say, how could people have been so blind to do such things as that? Indeed, how could they? I wonder if some of our grandchildren aren't going to say, when Roe v. Wade is overturned and goes the way of the Dred Scott decision, as I'm sure that it will, they're going to say, Granddaddy, what were you doing during the time of the American Holocaust? What did you do to stop it? And I would ask you that question right now. I believe that it will be ended. Sandra Day O'Connor believes that it will be ended. She has said repeatedly that Roe v. Wade is on an encounter, a collision course with itself because of the tremendous inconsistencies. It is not only bad morals and bad medicine, it is bad law. And now, Harry Blackmun, Justice Blackmun, who wrote the infamous Roe v. Wade decision, has said that he believes that it will be overturned, it may go down the drain, and he said, probably this term. You can count the votes, he said. There were two that voted against it. You may remember in the first abortion case, it was 7-2 in favor of abortion. In the second case, several years later, it was 6-3. In the third case, it was 5-4. And the court has been changed since then with the addition of Kennedy, no relation. So that now there are the three new judges, Kennedy, Scalia, and O'Connor, all of whom are against abortion, and the other two judges who voted against it in 1973, White and Rehnquist. So now there is a 5-4 majority against abortion on the Supreme Court, and that probably will even increase in the next several years. There are several abortion cases working their way up through the courts. We need to be involved in this and concerned about it, praying for the court and for the justices as they consider these cases coming up before them. We need to be active in this fight. What indeed were you doing during the American Holocaust? It may very well be that Roe v. Wade will be overturned this year. And what did you do during that frightful 16 or 17 years in which it was in force, when so many millions died? If we took the quality of life ethic, then indeed, as someone has pointed out, no doubt Beethoven would never have been born. A history of syphilis, insanity, deafness in his family, he would no doubt have been recommended that he not be born at all. Of course, we hear many excuses. We're told about the woman who has been raped. Less than 2% of women that are raped concede. We're told about cases of incest. Well, my friends, all of the cases of incest and all of the cases of rape amount to 2% of all abortions. Recent studies have confirmed repeatedly that 98% of women who get abortions indicate that they get them for this reason: they just did not wish to be pregnant at this time. Murder for convenience is what it is. 98%. And yet those 2% represent 98% of the arguments of the pro-abortionist. That's all they talk about. Fine, let's get rid of the other 98%. We'll talk about those later. And you know, about 60% of the women who get abortions don't do it because of their own free choice. The vast majority of them are unwed, young, teenagers, 80% white. They do it because, quote, they were pressured to do it by the father of the child, by friends, by parents, by other people. Many of them say if it weren't for that pressure, they would have brought the baby to term and either have kept it or put it out for adoption. There are a lot of men that would hate to see Roe v. Wade overturned because, you see, it removes from them an easy way out of their immorality. Many a man is guilty of pressuring a young lady to go and get an abortion to sweep under the rug his promiscuity as well as hers. We talk about free choice. There's always a choice. The choice was made 9 months earlier, or seven, or five, or two. But there was a choice, the choice to say no. The choice to say no to sin rather than to say no to life. I saw a cartoon this week which, if it weren't tragic, would indeed be humorous. It showed two babies sitting up on a cloud in heaven with halos around their heads, and one of them was saying to the other, "How could she have done that? It's my body, you know." May we pray. Father, we're thankful that a young unmarried woman who was pregnant and who some felt was babbling about visitations from angels, we're thankful that she was not subject to abortion, or we would not be here today to worship Jesus. We pray, O God, that we may be concerned for something other than personal peace and prosperity, that we may have hearts that reach out to those who are being led off to destruction, that we may have caring hearts. O God, we pray that we may not use false rationalizations simply to cover up our own immoral choices. We pray that this great blight on America, this Holocaust, will soon end, and that tiny babies may live to see the light of day. O God, deliver us from the mentality of paganism and Nazism and slavery, and help us to know that that babe within the womb can be sanctified by thee and ordained even to be a prophet unto the nations, as was Jeremiah before he was ever brought forth from the womb. We thank thee, O God, that Jesus was born and lived and gave his life willingly on a cross, that we might find forgiveness for our sins. And though they be red as crimson, they shall be white as wool. O God, there may be some here who are guilty of taking the life of their own baby. We pray that thou wilt cause them to flee to the cross, to find mercy and forgiveness in a time of need. There may be others here, men, who by their immoral acts and encouragement that encouraged young girls to such action. May they find repentance and forgiveness through Christ. And take this blight away from America for Jesus' sake. Amen.
And now it is time for Tim Gruber to give us the common message between this song and this poem. Amen.
Her parents never took the young girl to church, never spoke of his name, never read her his word. Two non-believers walking lost in this world took their baby with them. What a sad little girl. Her daddy drank all day and mommy did drugs. Never wanted to play or give kisses and hugs. She'd watch the TV and sit there on the couch while her mom fell asleep and her daddy went out.
Three, my iris is swollen. I cannot see. I must be stupid. I must be bad. What else could have made my daddy so mad? I wish I were better. I wish I weren't ugly. Then maybe my mommy would still want to hug me. I can't speak at all. I can't do a wrong. Or else I'm locked up all the day long. When I awake, I'm all alone. The house is dark. My folks aren't home. When my mommy does come, I'll try and be nice, so maybe I'll get just one whipping tonight. Don't make a sound. I just heard a car. My daddy's back from Charlie's bar. I hear him curse. My name he calls. I press myself against the wall. I try and hide. From his evil eyes, I'm so afraid now. I'm starting to cry. He finds me weeping. He shouts ugly words. He says it's my fault that he suffers at work. He slaps me and hits me and yells at me more. I finally get free and I run for the door. He's already locked it, and I start to bawl. He takes me and throws me against the hard wall. I fall to the floor with my bones nearly broken, and my daddy continues with more bad words spoken. I'm sorry, I scream, but it's not much too late. His face has been twisted into an imaginable hate. The hurt and the pain, again and again. Oh, please, God, have mercy. Oh, please let it end. And he finally stops and heads for the door while I lay there motionless, sprawled on the floor. My name is Sarah. I am but three. Tonight my daddy murdered me.
All right, now, Tim, that you've heard that song and that poem, can you give us the common message between the two?
Okay, Brother Kate, I would say without a shadow of a doubt, without any doubt whatsoever, that the common theme between that song and that poem is the breakdown of the family without the Lord Jesus Christ and his blessing.
And would you say 100% that is your final answer?
I am sure, Brother Kenny, that is my final answer.
Well, Tim, I'll have to give you this one. Although what we were looking for was child abuse or just plain abuse, the breakdown of the family is basically the same thing. That's exactly what's happening here. So I'll take that answer and I'll give you the good buzzer because it's basically the same thing. So we'll give you, so far, one for one as you start out on the right path. But we're going to see if you can make and beat the top goal of 22 for 26, but so far you're on a good path, starting out strong, one for one. So, all right.
In that case, on to the next one.
All right, and so we'll continue with the show. Amen. Hallelujah. And now it is that time for Ruth and her Bible prophecy. Amen.
Joy forevermore. tribulation.
When that flame is talking us down.
Tribulation.
When the seven seals are broken.
And the seven vials are open.
And the seven trumpets sound.
Lesson is entitled Jerusalem. Of all the cities of the earth having a direct relationship to mankind, Jerusalem is the smallest and most important, with the walled area containing the old city having only 2.5 square miles. Yet for the Christian, the Jew, and the Muslim, this city is the heart of the so-called religious world. It actively stimulates the heartbeat of multiplied millions of people. In the narrow space of the walled area of Old Jerusalem, the magnificent Temple of Solomon was built, and it is supposed that the ascent of Mahabin took place from there. John the Baptist walked the streets of Jerusalem. King David's throne sat in this old city. Jerusalem was the capital of Israel from David's reign until Nebuchadnezzar's reign, and the restoration under Ezra and Nehemiah, it again became a capital city. The Crusaders besieged the city and conquered it. The names of famous outstanding leaders of the military world who have been in the city of Jerusalem down through the ages read like a who's who of eternity. Jerusalem has had many names, among them being Jerusalem the Golden, the City of Righteousness, the Holy City, the City of Peace, and the City of the Great King, although one of its names is the City of Peace. Hardly a decade in its history has passed without continued bloodshed. It's rather ironical, but this city with a name literally meaning peace has had rivers of blood shed for its possession. Compute the number of battles, count the wounded and the dead, and its size, Jerusalem has been the least peaceful spot on the earth. At the close of the June War of 1967, the torn and divided city was reunited, Old Jerusalem, and with New Jerusalem. Previous to the fighting, which broke out on June 5th, Jerusalem, Israel was on one side, while Jerusalem, Jordan, was on the other side of no man's land. When the United Nations stopped the Arab-Israeli War in 1949, it's true that hostilities ceased, but the combatants found no peace. A no man's land divided the separated cities of Old and New Jerusalem. This boundary line, established by the UN or United Nations organization, cut right through the heart of the two cities like a long, ugly wound slashed across the palm of a person's hand. High in towers and atop crumbling walls, centuries of Israel and Jordan looked across at one another from behind piled sandbags and swiveling machine gun mounts. Guards kept vigilant watch 24 hours a day, that nerves at a high pitch, ready to pull the trigger against anyone who might be advancing without proper authority. The mysterious question regarding the city is, why have the nations of antiquity and those of our modern times coveted
and bled to possess Jerusalem? The city is practically without ample water. It's not on a through road or freeway. Neither does a navigable river wash its shores so that, from the economic standpoint, it is not and never was of great monetary value. Yet, it makes its first appearance in the Bible as a city of war. Historians tell us that 700 years before Rome was founded, the Jebusites conquered Salem and called it Jebus. For practical purposes, the two names were put together and the city was called Jerusalem, meaning habitation of peace. King David conquered it and made it his capital. David's son, King Solomon, later built the great temple there, and for centuries, Jerusalem has been a religious and spiritual center for the major religions. After Solomon's death, the Babylonians came, and later the Jews returned from exile, followed by the Greeks, and then the Romans, after an unsuccessful Jewish revolt in 132 AD, Jerusalem was razed and a new city was built. Jews were forbidden to enter the city on threat of death. 200 years later, the Christian Emperor Constantine erected the Church of the Holy Sepulchre on the supposed site of Calvary. In 637 AD, the Romans were driven out by the Arabs, and for 4.5 centuries, there was a partial peace. In 1099 AD, the Crusaders came clanking into the Holy City. They rebuilt the church, which has been burned approximately 100 years before, together with many beautiful shrines. In turn, the Crusaders were driven out by the Saracens, who held Jerusalem until the arrival of the triumphant Ottoman Turks in 1517. The beginning of modern Israel dates from 1860, when Sir Moses Montefiore started the city's first suburban development to house immigrant Jews. During World War I, General Allenby conquered the city and the British mandate began. Came to an end when the War of 1948 between the Arabs and the Israelis broke out. Since 1967, Old and New Jerusalem has been united, and the Jews who captured the Old City from the Jordanians pledge they will never give it up. The startling contrast between the Old and New City is amazing. On the New Jerusalem side, things are very modern, alive, and vigorous with exciting ideas. There are fine shops, supermarkets, bookshops, nightclubs, cafeterias, and even a Chinese restaurant. On the Israel side of Jerusalem, there is a beautiful parliament or government building, a new university, and apartment houses looking much like those in Beverly Hills, California, or Miami Beach, Florida. Beautiful shade trees grow along every street, and parks have been laid out to an effort so that make Jerusalem a green city. On the other hand, when a person crosses over into the Old City, he finds the calendar turned back hundreds of years. There are veiled women and heavily laden donkeys. The offensive smells, the talk of street merchants and buyers haggling over prices. The high walls and the narrow winding alleys are all the same today as they were 2,000 years ago. Jerusalem has a mystic or spiritual reality far more precious than its many physical details. There have been wars in Jerusalem, inhumanity, bloodshed, and cruelty. In June of 1967, we saw a quick, devastating war stop dead in its tracks as the Israeli army took over the Old City from the Jordanian army. On June 27th of that year, the Israeli parliament passed laws annexing Old Jerusalem as part of the State of Israel. In 1980, Jerusalem was declared the eternal capital of Israel by the parliament. But in the deepest meaning of the word, in a sense that surpasses everyday living, in the hearts of millions of religious pilgrims the world over, Jerusalem will still remain the city of peace, even though it has experienced many bloodbaths in the ages past. Isn't it amazing that a city over which so many soldiers have died and so much blood has been shed should be called the City of Peace? But in the light of the 1967 war in the Middle East and the taking over of the Old City of Jerusalem by the Army of Israel, it's exciting to know that the Bible has a number of remarkable prophecies relative to the City of Jerusalem. In the end of this age of grace, Jerusalem is going to become the actual focal point for the fulfillment of certain major Bible prophecies. In other words, the prophetic spotlight is going to be turned upon Jerusalem in the end of this age, and there are key prophecies concerning Jerusalem which will have a relationship to all the nations of the earth and as they burden themselves with that city. Scripture, behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about when they shall be in the siege, both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves will, or with us, it shall be cut in pieces, sorry. So all the people of the earth shall be gathered together against it. That's Zechariah 12:2-3. This prophetic scripture says that God is going to cut all the people in pieces who burden themselves with the city of Jerusalem, as well as make it a burdensome stone to them. Therefore, as I had occasion to listen to several United States organization debates going on during the month of June 1967, when that great peacekeeping organization was trying to resolve the war between the Israelis and the Arabs, no doubt you, like myself, could not help but be amused as we listened to those world statesmen acting as though they were completely ignorant of the scriptures, yet they were busy burdening themselves with that part of the earth which the Bible says was given to Abraham and his posterity for an eternal everlasting possession. Whether you know it or not, God gave unto Abraham and his children after him all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession. When God said everlasting possession, that's exactly what he meant. And I will make thee, Abraham, exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant with me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession. I will be their God. That's Genesis 17:6-8 in your King James Version Bible. When one wants to know where the boundaries of the land of promise are, all he has to do is read the Bible. Now, here's another scripture. In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land from the river of Egypt, not the Nile River, but a small stream south of Gaza, unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Genesis 15:18. The southern boundary line was from the wilderness of Zin, along the coast of Edom, eastward to the Dead Sea, through Kadesh, to the Mediterranean Sea, about 80 miles. The north border was from the Sea of Galilee westward through Mount Hor, about 70 miles, see Numbers 34:7-9. The eastern boundary line ran from Hazanaran on the north, southward to the Sea of Galilee, with the Jordan River being the boundary all the way to the Dead Sea, a distance of about 280 miles. The western boundary line was the coast of the Mediterranean Sea for a distance of about 300 miles. For a scriptural confirmation of these boundary lines, please read Numbers 34:1-12 carefully. It's true that the original boundary lines of the land were temporarily modified by the prophecies of three dispossessions and restorations. Two dispossessions and restorations have already been accomplished. Israel is now in a third dispersion from which she will eventually be restored completely at the return of the Lord as King under the covenant outlined in the Gospel of Luke. Scripture, behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Luke 1:31-33, KJV. That makes you run around the house at least 20 times, but I'm tired. On November 29, 1947, at the instigation of Great Britain, the United Nations voted to partition or to divide Palestine. Palestine is the Roman name for what is now the state of Israel. Israel is the Hebrew name for the same territory. At Great Britain's suggestion, the United Nations decided to partition or to divide Palestine between the Jews and the Arabs. When they did that, and actually took the action which divided the land, when they were doing was dividing something which didn't belong to them, because the state of Israel and the land of Canaan, the promised land, belonged to God, and he gave it to Abraham's descendants. God gave it to the Israelites for an everlasting possession in about 1860, began to bring back a remnant of the Israelites from many of the nations into which they had been scattered. At that time, we were beginning to approach the last days when certain key Bible prophecies would be fulfilled, and because God always does everything correctly, he started a remnant of the people going back to their land. Then, roughly 80 years later, England, together with other nations, stepped in and divided the land between the Arabs and the Jews, between the descendants of Isaac and the descendants of Ishmael. Now, my dear listener, such action was all wrong. It was completely contrary to what God had in mind. And you'll note in the two verses of Scripture, Zechariah 2:12-2-3, God said, I, God Almighty, will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces. It's exactly what happened to Great Britain. As punishment for her division of the land of Palestine between the Jews and the Arabs got two-thirds of the promised land, while the Jews, who were the legal possessors, got only one-third of the land, and from that very moment, England began to lose out as a world power. Many of her colonies began to rebel against her, and today she is dropped to the position of a fifth-rate nation simply because she stuck her political nose into God's business. God will eventually deal completely with those nations which have divided his people and their land. Another scripture, and I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat and will plead with them there for my people, the Israelites, and for my heritage, Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. Joel 3 and verse 2. The leaders of England have been reading their Bibles and studying the ancient prophecies relative to the Hebrew people. They would have known that they should not have divided the promised land between the Jews and the Arabs. When they did divide the land or acted as instigators in the division of the land which God gave unto Abraham for an everlasting possession, they really put the noose around their necks. And from that moment on, England started to lose out as a world power. Her colonies began to rebel against her, and today she finds herself a small, fifth-rate nation which doesn't cut too much ice on the sea of diplomacy of the world. In fact, the other nations would get along very well without her. Queen Victoria of England was entertaining some of the royal household from India one day when one of the princes of India came up to the godly queen and asked, what is the secret of England's greatness? To answer the question, the queen merely held up her Bible. Daily she read the scriptures. Daily she governed her life and the lives of her subjects according to God's word. But these who followed her to the throne stopped reading their Bibles and relying upon God's word for their instructions. During the tribulation period, when the satanic antichrist comes on the world scene, Jerusalem will become his future capital. We are told that the antichrist will be a man of war who will do great exploits in the Middle East, even conquering the state of Israel and taking over three other Middle East nations. Now here's a scripture. He, Antichrist, shall enter also into the glorious land, Palestine, and many countries shall be overthrown, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. And the Libyans and the Ethiopians will be his steps. Daniel 11, verses 41 to 43, KJV. Then the prophetic scripture declares in the last verse of the 11th chapter of Daniel, and he, Antichrist, shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas and the glorious holy mountain. Daniel 11, verse 45. This verse of scripture tells us that Jerusalem will become the international capital of the Antichrist, who shall have his palace in Jerusalem between the Dead Sea and the Mediterranean Sea in the glorious holy mountain, Mount Moriah. Jerusalem will have a long and varied history before the end of the millennial reign. During Christ's 1,000-year reign, Jerusalem will also be the capital city for Christ's administration. Scripture, and he shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain and the Lord's house shall be established at the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. And many people shall go and say, come ye and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he shall teach us his ways, and we will walk in his path. For out of Zion, Jerusalem, shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Isaiah 2, verses 2 and 3. You'll notice it says in the second verse of the portion of Scripture, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established at the top of the mountains. This refers to a literal, earthly, visible civil kingdom of government on this earth. Jerusalem will be connected with many nations by a highway of holiness on which the nations of the Middle East and surrounding countries will go up to Christ's international headquarters, where Christ will be reigning as King of Kings and Lord of Lords over all the kingdoms of the earth. May I refer you to Isaiah 11:16, Isaiah 19:23, Ezekiel 43:7, Zechariah 14:1-5, and Revelation 5:10. It would appear the Son of God was fully conscious of the overall plan for Jerusalem during the long ages of man's stay on this earth, when he tearfully lamented, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often will I have gathered thy children together, even as a lion or hen gathers her chickens under her wings, and ye would not." Matthew 23:37. The most extraordinary events of human history have taken place in Jerusalem, events in which God, angels, and the holy men of all ages have played an intimate part. It was in this city that the Holy Temple of Israel was located. It will again be located. It is in this city that Jesus Christ was consecrated to God, where he was crucified and buried, and where he rose from the dead, triumphant over the grave. The gospel was first preached to this city. It was within her gates that the Holy Spirit baptized the first believers. It will be the city to which Jesus Christ will return at his second coming to defeat the forces of the Antichrist. It will be in Jerusalem, where Christ will reign for a millennium with the righteous of all ages. Truly, the city of Jerusalem is a holy city of reality and song. Scripture, for it, Jerusalem, is the city of the great king, Matthew 5:35 in the King James Version Bible. Next lesson will be One World, Good or Bad.
Hey, you can enjoy the Six Eyes Radio Network. Just call 424-243-9617.
Welcome to the Six Eyes Stay Warm But Safe segment, where it is better to be warm and safe than cold and in your grave. Today I'd like to talk to you about safety with different types of heating. First of all, let me talk to you about furnaces, whether gas, propane, or oil. First of all, have your furnace looked at by a well-qualified technician, not your aunt, your uncle, your cousin, your brother, whatever, that claims they know what they're doing, but a well-qualified technician who has went to school for such things. Also, be sure to change your air filter once a month, and be sure there are no debris, clutter, etc. around your furnace. Moving on, let's talk about fireplaces. We're talking about the gas-type fireplaces or wood-burning fireplaces. These areas must be well vented through a chimney. Be sure there is no clutter near the hearth, etc., and children should not be allowed to play in such an area. Also, be sure there is no debris close to the area that could catch fire. Now let's talk about space heaters. There are many types on the market today. First, let's talk about electric space heaters. Be sure all electric space heaters have the shut-off feature. Should they be tipped over, they shut off automatically. Secondly, be sure to check the cord on a monthly basis. What you should check for is, one, where the plug plugs into the wall socket. Be sure while the unit is working and running that the plug is not getting warm. If it gets warm, replace the electric heater. This is because it can overheat the plug and cause melting of the plug and an electrical fire. Secondly, check the length of the cord from the plug to the electric heater to make sure there is no melting or fraying of the cord, which can cause a fire. Also, be sure all cords are not under or around the space heater itself where it can be overheated or cause a trip hazard. Next, the space that a space heater should have. All space heaters should have a clearance or space between the heater and all objects near them. This is easily accomplished by putting your left leg near the heater and your right leg next to the object you want to make sure there's space between. You should be able to stand easily between the two without cramping yourself. This is at least a 2-foot space or span. Also, above the space heater, there should be nothing between the space heater and the ceiling. This will give it proper room for allowing heat to escape the heater without causing fire. The reason for this is, if, for example, wooden furniture is near it, the furniture can become overheated, dry out, and thus cause a fire. Objects such as cardboard or paper can easily become overheated and ignite. Cloth objects can easily overheat and become ignited and cause a fire. This is why there should always be a 2-foot span around the heater and at least over the top of the heater from the top of the heater to your ceiling should be always clear. And never, ever touch a space heater with your bare hands while it is running. Electric heaters that have fans. Do not place anything on the area of the space heater where the fan is pulling air into the fan, known as the intake valves. This can cause the heater to overheat and burst into flames. Also, put nothing on the outgoing air because of the same reason for the cause of fire. In fact, nothing should be on any space heater of any type because of the reason that they can cause fire. Now let's talk about propane and kerosene heaters. These types of space heaters burn with an ignition source and flame. They put off CO2 due to the igniting process and the burning process. These space heaters require proper venting. They should not be used in a closed house without proper ventilation. Without proper ventilation, these heaters could cause the CO2 to build up. You would start to feel sleepy, fall asleep, and never wake up again to see your family, and they would be very saddened at your passing. So do not use these space heaters without proper ventilation. Finally, let's talk about what they call torpedo heaters or propane heaters. Some also are run by kerosene, and these heaters have a fan that takes the heat source and makes it at an extreme heat, more heat for the buck, as they say. The fan blows across the heat source and makes it hotter. These heaters are usually used in a garage-type environment. Once again, because of the heat source, propane or kerosene must be properly vented. Should never be used inside of a home without proper ventilation due to the CO2 buildup. As I stated before, this is true of all heaters, no matter their type, whether in your fireplace, space heater, torpedo heater, whatever. Young children, teenagers, or yes, even you adults, should never allow children to play around them, nor should you touch them while in operation. These are causes for serious burns. We do not want you to be burned due to your space heater. Remember, proper space for your heater, proper checking of the electrical, and proper use are all important when using heaters. And finally, we want to reiterate with what we started with at the beginning of this segment. Here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, we want you to be safe but warm, because it is better to be warm and safe than cold and dead.
Hello, my name is Ian of Ashtabula, Ohio. I run a lawn care business, Nash Lawn Care. I primarily cut grass, trim, and shovel snow. I also help those with disabilities, offering to cut for free. If you want to contact me, you can at 1-440-754-2061, and the number again is 440-754-2061. Please remember, I only do lawns in Ashtabula, Ohio. Thank you, and have a great day.
Did you enjoy the program today? Well, you could get all the great programming here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, whether Station 1 or Station 2. All you have to do is first download your iHeartRadio. Once you downloaded the iHeartRadio app, then go to iHeartRadio and type in Six Eyes Radio, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, space radio, R-A-D-I-O. Once you've done that and you click enter, you will see two results pop up. The first, Six Eyes Radio, and the second, Six Eyes Radio Network 2. These are the results for both Station 1, Six Eyes Radio, and Station 2, Six Eyes Radio Network 2. You'll want to click on both and get both added to your device so you can listen to all the great programming here at the Six Eyes Radio Network for both Station 1 and Station 2, so you can enjoy 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, at your leisure. Amen. Would you like to help keep shows like this one on the air? Well, there are several methods you can do to help that happen. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to paypal.com and enter the following email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, go to Cash App, enter $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4, again, $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4, and in both cases, you enter the dollar amount of your love gift, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. Also, if you wish to send a check or money order to the Six Eyes Radio Network, contact Brother Six Eyes at his email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. In your subject line, write donation information requested. In the body of your email, request the information for the pay to and snail mail information for your check or money order, explaining you wishing to send a check or money order to donate to the Six Eyes Radio Network. And once again, God will richly bless you, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much. And finally, as we pull into the station with the Six Eyes Gospel Bus, who do we got on board with us, there, Sister Ruth?
Well, we have God the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Band of Angels. We have you, Sister Emily, and just little old me.
All right. Well, Emily, do you have any questions or comments on the messages that we had?
Nope, but guess who I had on video chat on the other phone during part of it, and she was getting ready to go to bed.
That is?
Hey, Kenny.
Like I said, go ahead.
I had Queen Nye on my other phone on video chat.
Ah. Well, that's good. What part was she on when she was listening?
I believe it was during Ruthie's Bible prophecy.
All right. So you're good? You don't have any questions or comments?
I'm good. Nikhail, when I was on video chat on mute on this phone, she's saying to be keeping Boss Man and his niece Tweety in prayer because Tweety's being a bad girl.
Ah, okay. Well, we mentioned that earlier when we said all of Six Eyes Radio Network, our fans, his family, our family, all that, so he was covered. All right. Anything else?
No, but be keeping me in prayer because during the show I went to walk through the house. I went down on my right arm, and now I can't even feel it.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for my niece to get home.
Okay. Are you good now?
Also, guess what I got a picture of? Remember I said I was going to have you see if you could get Six to send me a picture of Trumpet?
Uh-huh.
Mikhail sent me a picture of Trumpet, and I just asked her if I could get a picture of that, too.
Okay.
But all I told her was I'm up to a surprise for both her and Six. She goes, oh, God.
All right. Okay,
and
well.
With that, I am complete.
All right. Ruth, anything else for you?
I think I'll just pray for Emily and all the other requests she had. I'm getting a little better than I was, so I praise the Lord for my condition. It's getting better.
No questions on that first message, Ruth, about the American Holocaust?
No, but I'm complete.
Okay, well then, Emily, you said you'd close in prayer, so the ball is in your court.
Being funny, how hard is it?
It's a basketball.
I'd better about hey, because I know Boss Man listens back to the broadcast. I don't need to get no deep hot water with him.
So you're on.
Oh. Lord help. Oh, man, that hurts. Lord, I thank you for this broadcast tonight. Lord, for anyone out there that doesn't know you as their personal Savior, Lord, I ask for them to be able to just yield to you and put up the white flag, surrendering their all to you. I ask you for our ministry, for our radio station, that we continue to grow and flourish in you, Lord. I ask you for my mom to be with her and all the residents out there at the nursing home and the staff, all our first responders, our medical personnel, no matter where they may be. I also ask you for our government, for our military, to be with them and them on the right path. Be with Brother Tim, put a hedge of protection around him as the issues over there where he's at. that you would keep him safe. I ask this all in your name. Amen.
Amen. All right, and with that, we just want to remind everybody about the programming tomorrow, of course, 1 o'clock p.m. Eastern. That will be the Word of the King on Station 2, and that's at 1 p.m. with Timothy Groover, Station 2, 1 p.m. Eastern. Timothy Groover, the Word of the King, and you call 515-605-9340, 515-605-9340, and you could actually hear Timothy Groover live tomorrow and know definitely, yeah, he's okay, and be able to hear what great message he has tomorrow and be able to enjoy that at 1 p.m. Eastern, Station 2. And then, of course, on Station 1, right here where you already are presently listening, 424-243-9617, 424-243-9617, 9 p.m. Eastern, here on Station 1, The Truth of the Matter with Dr. Doug Quick. So you'll want to enjoy both programs. And then, of course, Friday, we'll have some other great programming that we'll tell you about tomorrow. So for Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang, Sister Emily, Sister Ruth, and all the Six Eyes team here, we want to say God bless, good night, and we'll catch you tomorrow. God bless, everybody.
God bless, Ken.